The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Welcome back to another K4 Wins, the first one of 2026. And perfect timing here as we do the show here on Friday, right around 10 o'clock Central Time. Our next show is going to be on Tuesday. And of course, that will be in lieu of the big games going to the Final Four coming up here next weekend, which should be entertaining, man. We got Ole Miss taking on Miami. We got Oregon taking on Indiana again. Very intriguing. And by the way, those early lines out, Miami giving up 3.5, or actually 3 and 51.5. That's the latest line I've got this morning. Could be off by a half. Don't correct me. Oregon at Indiana. Indiana giving up 4 and 47.5. So we'll have those games. Kai Gregory's been doing his thing for 35, 40 years, playing both sides for a long period of time. Master handicapper. Of course, we have Case Kiefer, who is with the Las Vegas Sun. He's down there in Las Vegas right now doing his thing. And then my good friend Kip Kiefer, who I was actually hanging out with last night, watching some of the games. We watched that debacle between Georgia.
The Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Sugar Bowl.
That was crazy, crazy game. And I imagine those coaches are probably second thinking some things as well. Because we are an Alabama-based show, though, let's start right there. Alabama, obviously, Kip, gets blown out by 35, their worst bowl loss in the history of that program. 100 years, should I say, to the day that they actually won and took home their first national title. We actually talked about it last night. Legend, surprisingly enough, was really, really glum. And we were already setting our sights on next year. What does Alabama fans have to look forward to next year? What's your thoughts on what we saw this past weekend?
Well, he used the words late last night. Our producer here, my youngest son, Clayt, and I were having a long philosophical kitchen discussion after you guys went home. And Clayt was raised in basically a Georgia football oriented household because of my background and growing up in Atlanta. Clayt had a real poignant thing to say about those two games. He says, as an Alabama fan and graduate, I use the word, two words, embarrassing and humiliating. He said, as a Georgia fan, disappointed and pissed off. I think that really capsulized exactly what a lot of SEC nations feeling today on what were supposed to be the two dominant programs in the conference, really being exposed yesterday and just having completely different, but completely consistent, really, really shockingly horrifying outcomes.
Yeah, Kai, Indiana probably a little better than some people thought who don't follow Indiana throughout the season. They have obviously beaten Oregon. They've beaten Ohio State. Now they've beaten Alabama. I think they're for real.
They have the
Heisman Trophy winner. And I don't think Alabama was as good as a lot of people saw. And if obviously before the show, we were all thinking about Notre Dame being in the show here as opposed to Alabama, that more likely in hindsight should have been the cause. But I know most of your players had the Alabama side. They had to be bitching and moaning yesterday.
Pretty much. And I mean, that I think yesterday's game would have been better for Michael Urban to be at with the belt to ask, because let's be honest, outside of the very first drive where Indiana had the ball and Alabama sacked him twice, after that, there was no doubt in your mind who was winning that game. You looked at that, you said, okay, their defense is coming out, they're after Mendoza, they're getting after it. He didn't look great on the first drive, whoop-de-doo. And then from there on, I mean, what did they end up with, like 20 something rushing yards? Alabama had, I think, that was one of the worst efforts and pathetic things I think I've ever seen. And I'm a Tennessee fan, so that says a lot.
They mailed it in the second half. Desmond Howard said, listen, they quit. They quit in the second half. I don't care if you're down 50. You don't quit when you play for the Alabama Crimson Tide. Case for me, it was when Kalen DeBoer, I don't know what the hell they were trying to do. They were calling timeouts. You had Ty Simpson playing max protection on a punt that wasn't happening. Then he gets under center. Then they call another timeout. Then, of course, they do this jet sweep thing, whatever, on this fourth down call from their own side of that just kind of blew the whole game. I think it was
three. And that was after Simpson slid short of a first down, preserving himself. I mean, sometimes you have to be a football player. You know, I understand you don't want to take a hit, but you know, that set off that whole stage of insanity. And then it carried over the next time when he obviously realized his terrible mistake. He was fighting for extra yardage when he already had the first down and they stripped the ball.
Yep.
That gave Indiana, that game was only 3-0 midway through the second quarter at that point. That gave Indiana two touchdowns back to back. Ty Simpson, good grief.
Why do you think Kalen DeBoer went for it at that time of the game? And it almost looked like it was a desperate move. And it was like it was 3-0. It was early in the game. They were on their own side of the field. I mean, what were your thoughts on that case? I couldn't believe they snapped the ball.
I mean, I think he probably realized what anyone that's watched these teams in this season, I don't want to be too callous, but I mean, you can just watch our show. I said these teams are on different levels. I think Indiana minus 10.
You're on it all year.
You needed some, I feel like you just needed some crazy things to go your way to have a chance to keep up with them. And obviously we saw the opposite. They got discouraged and fell apart. I mean, I certainly, if you would have asked me if any of the games are going to be blowouts, I would have said that one. So I came away pretty unsurprised. I think it's time. I was talking to Kip about this. I think when he was here, there's another show I guest on a lot, and the guys just hated Indiana all year. I don't understand what you see in Indiana. If you put a different color jersey on Indiana, if they had the statistical profile on what they did this year, and you put like Ohio State or Michigan or Notre Dame jerseys, I mean, they would be like a bigger favorite in all these games. The historical precedent does not matter, especially in this age when every team changes every year. I still think Indiana's even underestimated after yesterday. I mean, this team is just a Goliath. They might not even end up winning the national championship, but I just think there should be no more doubts left against the Hoosiers. They've answered the call every single week, and it's just a really great team, in my opinion.
Cignetti
and
probably
Case
the
just
best,
nailed it, Tony, with the historical precedent comment, because he's absolutely right. And that's a problem that old school fans like me, who base most of my knowledge and experience and what I think is going to happen based on largely and now completely, it was just a dose of bitter medicine yesterday. Historical precedent, what Case just said, is profound. It doesn't mean shit. You're shocked whole time yesterday watching that game. This can't be Alabama. I've watched Alabama for 5 decades. We haven't seen a game like this ever from them. 38-3. The biggest beating they've taken was in the Music City Bowl in 1998. They lost 38-7. But through all these years of football, you've never seen an Alabama team just completely not show up for a game. This is something that is going to be a big transition for not only old school fans like me, but delusional Alabama fans who always convince themselves that no matter what the circumstances, they've got the best personnel and the best team. This is a bitter pill to swallow this morning for people that have looked at the game in completely different lenses than the game is actually right now at this point in time.
Yeah, I want to say, tell me what it was, 1990, was it the Blockbuster Bowl or something where Alabama played somebody and they didn't show up and everyone's like, well, Alabama doesn't, they don't show up for bowl games. They don't give a squad.
It didn't matter.
They don't care unless they're playing for national championships. So they don't. And that's the last time I can remember them the last time where they actually quit. And now,
I mean, the bottom line is the second half of the season, this Alabama team just wasn't very good. And everybody could see it, but it's like the emperor with no clothes. The emperor strutted out there in front of a team that's playing on all cylinders right now. And I've diminished Indiana because of the schedule. I did say it would not end up being Indiana and Ohio State because nothing is cut and dried right now in this structure. So at least I was half right. But Indiana just did what Indiana does. I wasn't surprised with the effort they put forth and what they produced yesterday. But Alabama's just non-participation and stupidity in this game is just kind of hard to reconcile.
If you played Alabama this year, you are a winner chicken dinner quite a bit. They were 9-3 against the spread, obviously, and not against the U of Miami. They lose by 10. They only score 24 points their last two games. Case, your thoughts on Ohio State? I they lost to Michigan last year, but win a national title this year. They beat Michigan and didn't look with a rip the last two ball games of the year.
Yeah, I mean, I try not to pat myself on the back too much.
Or do it, like I do it.
You're the guy. It all went exactly how I expected. A lot different. Luckily, the first round I only had one bet, but I think I went 1-3. I mean, I really liked the matchup for Miami too. Now, I think they got kind of a fortunate rollout. I mean, the pick six and really Ohio State. I mean, Miami did win in the trenches. They did come out and punch them in the mouth. But I mean, if they play that game again, I think Ohio State's a touchdown favorite again. But just crazy things can happen in a one game sample. Miami got it done. I think defensively, Miami's just scary. The guys they have they have on the field, for all the smack I talk about Mario Cristobal, and I do think he's cost them a lot of games. I know this will be controversial. I actually feel this about both Ole Miss and Miami. It's crazy they're in the semifinals this year. I would make both Miami's team last year and Ole Miss's team last year significant favorites over their teams this year. But it's just weird. It speaks to the randomness in the sport and how crazy one game things. You could probably push back on the Miami one. Just they're so much better defensively now. But I think they were so bad on defense last year. We lose sight of like they were like historically good on offense last year and they had no defense. This year it's kind of the opposite. The offense has been bumbling, but the defense is just scary. So and you saw the total. I think I mentioned this on the show. Just keep crashing down to 40. It made no sense to me that if the total is going to be that low and it's going to be that type of game, it made no sense that someone could be more than a touchdown favorite. And we saw that. It was really, who was going to make the more mistakes. And Ohio State and Julian Sayin made more mistakes. And sets up. Speaking about the historical precedent, Kip and I just agreed on him. You don't even only have to look at Indiana. We got Ole Miss and Miami, who sucked for 25 years, never supposed to come through in spots. Oregon, who's never won a national championship. It's just like things can change in a hurry now in college football.
And it's by design, I think. I think the powers that be want an entertainment program more in line with the NFL. College football, as we know it, is not only in transition, it is changing, like you said, overnight. I thought the other really compelling thing is, and we'll let Kai weigh in because I know he's got thoughts on all this, but it's being Kiefer dominated right now, but when Ohio State punted with about 4 minutes left, you go, okay, here comes Cristobal now. He's going to fall down three plays. They're going to punt it back. Ohio State's going to come down the field and win the game. That's the script we're all used to. We are not used to the script that Miami buckles their chin strap, goes out there and beats the crap out of Ohio State's defense, which was vaunted all year as being an elite unit. They went right down the field and put the game away with a touchdown. Yeah. That was completely shocking to me. And let's say, and I'm going to give myself a quick pat on the back. I said in that game when we analyzed it on Tuesday that there, in my mind, there was a huge edge at quarterback for Miami over Ohio State. Julian Sayin may develop into the greatest player of all time, but he's still just a young guy. I thought Carson Beck was the dominant quarterback in the game. I thought Carson Beck had been on the stage a long time. People were really down on him, despite I think his career record as a starter is something outrageous, like 45-5. This guy's been in the big games. I thought they had a huge edge at quarterback. And it played out just that way.
Would have been fun to see Carson Beck play against Georgia. That would have been fantastic. Kai, yeah, we had Miami, Ohio State, obviously Oregon over Texas Tech, 23-0. But we talked about the Alabama-Indiana game, of course, late last night. Ole Miss takes it by 5 over Georgia. What are your thoughts on some of those games? What would you see?
You know, we talked about it, and again, Tuesday, Alabama 74 stars and up, Indiana 7. So tell me coaching doesn't matter anymore. And if you flip, you know, it's funny you're talking about the old school. That's the only reason why Alabama got in the playoffs, because of their name. If they have different jerseys on with their resume, they don't make the playoffs. With their three losses, with the worst loss probably of anybody in the top 25 to Florida State, with the way finished the year, their last five games, how much they looked like crap, couldn't run the ball. There's absolutely no reason they should have been in, but they were, and we see what happens. I mean, they got beat worse than James Madison did. So that says a lot, and add that to your history, Bammers. Anyway, I don't think Trinidad Chambliss can play like that again. I mean,
he's like Roy Hobbs. It was like watching The Natural.
I mean, but watching have 13 straight completions, you know, at some point during the game, he made two throws, one that was on an out that I think if just about anybody else makes a throw is a pick six. And then that deep ball he threw to Stripling was just phenomenal.
The
Patrick Mahomes flip
you got to give Gunnar Stockton a ton of credit. That kid got hammered on two or three of his throws that he just gave his
obliterated.
Body up. I did not like Gunnar Stockton before last night. I was not a Gunnar Stockton fan. If I'm anybody on his team, I am telling him after the game, I'm sorry I let you down, because it is clear he gave everything for that game. But I'll move on. I think Kirby has some thought process, but really, how beautiful would this be if Ole Miss moved forward? Kiffin left to go to LSU, where he thought he had a better chance in the national championship, and his team is one game away for playing for the national championship.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's good enough to ever get LSU that close, ever. I mean, depending on how much money they spend. And it's going to be interesting. And you know, I sat here all morning today, and then yesterday I have a pop-up on here for the transfer portal as people are putting their name and are announcing. And there's already been like 400 people.
Oh, you knew it was going to happen. The
transfer portal.
Yep.
And it's 10:30.
Yeah.
I'm a Tennessee fan. Top wide receiver is going to the NFL, so his little brother's transferring. Ricky Gibson, who they're counting on coming back as a defensive secondary starter in the transfer portal. One of the best linemen, transfer portal. It is ridiculously crazy to see this and to know that all these people are leaving. And then you get into one of the games today, Navy and Cincinnati, or you get into Rice and Texas State.
Well, just the fact that Rice is in a bowl game, that tells us where we are right there. Rice is in a bowl
game. But they're playing Texas.
Rice belongs in a bowl, but not in a bowl game.
Kip, that's your old school perspective. You're not in the new.
But they suck. They're 5-7, and they suck.
Yeah.
That's because people like Notre Dame said, no, we're not playing.
I know.
UAB was favored over.
They should have been.
UAB was favored over Rice.
There's not a real strong rope around here, because I might not be able to live through the day. I don't know how to tie a good knot anyway, so I'm going to be safe.
The other big.
Well, and their top two, Rice's top two quarterbacks opted out.
Yeah.
Their top two running backs.
You're the only person on the face of the earth that knows that, by the way. The other big stat that's going out today that everyone's bringing up are bye teams. The first 2 years of the playoffs, 1-7 overall. Yeah. Of course, Indiana's the only team to get it done against the Alabama Crimson Tide.
And that's because Alabama didn't show up. I mean, Indiana was ready to play and did what they do.
I think the first year there were four teams that didn't obviously do because they didn't.
Well, two of them didn't belong there.
They didn't believe it. So they reseed, they change it up. These four teams obviously should get a home game. They should get the bye. But everyone kept talking about the rust. Casey, you tell me about rust games. Everyone kept saying, if Nick Saban's got 37 days to prepare for this game, he's going to kick the shit out of him. Well, just because you got 27 days off, everyone's like, you're better off playing and being banged up than you are having a rest and playing football. That's pathetic.
Just for the record, just so everybody knows, anybody listening or anybody else, we'll put this out there. Saban retired. He's not coaching anymore.
Really?
What the hell on?
Let me just say this before Case answers. There is not another example you can give me in any sport that's a team sport where if you get a bye, you're off 26 days, 27 in the case of the teams that played on the Friday night before. That is just absolutely absurd. That is not a reward. That is a death sentence, because in a team sport, you've got to pretty much start all over. It is absolutely a ridiculous flaw in this system to have this structure where you get rewarded with a home game if you're a 5-8 and you have to sit for a month if you're a top four is absolute absurdity. We need to go to 16. We need to go to NCAA basketball style brackets. 16 plays at 1, 15 plays at 2. Let's put some damn common sense into this thing. It is absolutely ridiculous as currently structured.
Case, how have you always looked at byes? When I during the season, everyone says he's 8-0 after a bye week, and everyone takes a bye week before they play Alabama.
It's a bye week,
exactly. When you're talking about 20, but I mean, let's be honest here. This has been going on forever. teams that play for national championships have had typically a 35 or 40 days off before their last game and before the game they play in
but
January.
But at least it was both teams back then. It's not like that anymore. These other teams have already played a game. They've already faced the pressure of elimination.
If you ask,
and it makes a huge difference.
If you ask the coaches, and obviously if you've got hamstrings or you got a quarterback's banged up and you want the extra time, and maybe it's the difference between a guy being off an injured reserve or actually playing football in a bowl game, I get that. But I have a hard time believing that just because a team's off for 4 weeks, that means they're going to come out and play rusty. Am I wrong? I know you guys are saying that, but what do the numbers tell you, Case?
It sounds like I'm going to have an unpopular opinion on this. I agree in some respects. I agree it's strange. I would rather it be fixed that it's not as long a time off. And I do think the second round should be a home team. But I also think, I mean, we have the history of sports. Rest is way more important. I would much, and I think every coach would agree with me. You'd much rather have the time off than being run out
there
and play
month?
Another game. We talked about this during the year. I give a little team a boost to teams coming off a little bit of a bye. I mean, this has been an 8-game sample. This is not statistically relevant. So, I mean, no one that works with any data is going to say, "Oh, we're going to jump to conclusions about the game." Also, I feel like it's being really overblown. Is you nailed it. There was a stat they showed in one of the games about how teams off the bye performed in the first half of their games. And it was like, I don't know, hugely lopsided. But all that was based off Boise State and Arizona State last year, and not in a million years were a top four team.
Yeah, and Georgia looked really good in the first half last night. And they were a bye week, and they looked like shit in the second half.
They had a scoop and score. So that was a little bit
tainted. But, I mean, they were up nine. So, I mean, they obviously looked a lot better. They couldn't do anything offensively in the second half.
That scoop and score helped the over 14 and a half in the first half team total for Georgia, though.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
Yes. So to me, it's not really a factor, but I do agree. The length is a long time, but I would rather have the rest than play in the first round. I do think they should get a home game too. I mean, I think I saw some of the viral tweets of people saying like it was like $40 to get into all these games. The fan bases just aren't going to travel to three straight neutral sites. I don't even have a problem with neutral sites starting at the semifinals, but I think if we stuck in the 12 team, maybe everyone gets a home game or something like that.
They deserve to get that. I mean, if they're going to have the time off, they get the bye, they get the home game. I wanted to ask you, Kai, did the safety last night in the Ole Miss game play into any bad beats for anybody? I saw that. We were all discussing it. I have never seen a safety that way where the ball hit
so
the pylon.
Crazy.
It was the craziest thing. It went from 37 to 39. Did that set any numbers off for second half team totals or anything else?
Yeah, and for all the people out there that play 10-point teasers, that took them, if they had Georgia in a 10-point teaser, they went from winning to losing by that. So, I mean, it was huge because the line adjusted, and it got down as low as 5 at game time. Guess what happens in a 3-team 10-point? If you tie, you lose.
You lose.
So that's safe. I mean, that safety is huge. Georgia bettors were right there, then boom, no. And it didn't change the over for the second half. It had already hit. But it helped Ole Miss in the second half.
That was the most bizarre 10 minutes the last game, taking the stage off not once, not twice, three different times, and then putting another second back on the clock. And then that last play,
they moved the stage twice. They put it on the field
and
twice.
And somehow Georgia gets the ball on their own 35 again with a second left. I'm like, what the hell just happened here? And then they throw that little thing where it was bizarre.
Well, they tried that on the kickoff. They should have just taken a knee. Ole Miss showed you the previous play where they hit a 44-yard bomb. Run a damn offensive play. Don't go to a clown show. The whole game was just insane. Yeah. Bizarre.
It was only like a $20 bet or something, so I don't honestly feel that bad, but I did get sent. I don't know when they bet it, but someone I know bet under 72 and a half live. So
unbelievable.
I also say I did hear other people mentioning the teaser thing. I know people will think I'm an edgelord or get mad at you for saying this, but I have no sympathy for you if you lost a bet teasing through zero. Just never tease through zero, especially not in college football.
I love it.
I love it. All man. Right. Great break.
Bookies love teasers for a reason. There's a reason.
Hey, you know, 99 out of 100 times, if you win your teaser, you can win the game outright, ATS, against the spread. It happens every single time.
That number does not come into play.
It sure looks good. Yeah.
Parlays, too.
Case was behind the scenes. We talked about this before on the show, but for new listeners, Case was allowed behind the scenes at the Superbook a couple of years ago to watch an entire day of what happens behind the lines. And Case, tell them what the reaction at the Superbook is when they get a big concentration of parlays.
Well, really, I was just kind of surprised there wasn't much reaction. They're just used to it. I never realized. I know parlays are popular, and this was many years ago now. And I knew a lot of people bet them, but I just had no idea until I was there watching the screen with every bet pouring in. I mean, 4 out of 5 bets are like 5 and 16 parlays.
No chance
of winning. You're not getting paid anywhere near your payout. I mean, it's just insane. And I think parlays have only gotten more popular since then, especially now with everyone rolling out their same game parlay options. Yeah, it's just and you look at the profit margins. Nevada has to put them out. Not all the other states do, but Nevada has to put them out every month. Every month, the hold on parlays is like 25% plus. That's where they make the vast majority of their money. Unbelievable. Is parlays.
But I got the prototypical guy who walks in here in our studio every week, Bama Hater, better known as JK as his regular name. He comes in every week going, damn it, I had a 9-game parlay yesterday and I hit 8 out of 9. He always says he hit 8 out of 9. I guarantee you, good. Check his card, it's like 4 out of 9.
No, put a 100 on each of those games and be
but
done
they
with
convince
it.
Themselves this is a viable option. Crazy.
That is hilarious. All right, Case, since we're talking about it, give me a 2-team parlay for our final four. Miami, Ole Miss, Miami -3, Oregon and Indiana, Indiana -4. Give me a 2-team parlay for the final 4 week coming up on Thursday and Friday.
Well, one thing about parlays that I do always say is if you absolutely have to bet them, I'd recommend money line parlays over the over point spreads. And also, smaller parlays are okay. And even some sharp guys use them quite a bit to circumvent limits. If people, you know, in this day and age, you get limited so quick somewhere that, you know, sometimes you can bet more if you, just throw two of these things together. But being that I prefer money lines, if I had to make a parlay, none of these games really jump out as much as the two I loved last round, but I really thought I'd be on Oregon if they rematched Indiana, and I still would not be surprised at all if they pulled it off. But I still kind of feel like Indiana's being a little bit undervalued, even after all they've done. I thought this would be closer to 6. I mean, FanDuel opened 3.5 -15 yesterday. I know now it looks like 3.5 -20. I did bet a little bit of the 3.5, so I'm not super confident. But if I had to make a money line parlay, I'd probably go chalk. Actually, Indiana and Miami. I do think Miami's front's going to be a challenge for Ole Miss. I have not bet on that game though. The number came out about where I thought it would be, but I'm leaning Indiana and Miami. My first reaction. Indiana.
And you're still alive, Miami futures, correct?
I have both. I'm somehow going to have a future in the national championship. I have Miami at 50-1 and Ole Miss at 80-1.
Damn.
So. Oh, man, someone can find conference of winners so I could hedge and bet Big Ten or something. Because when Notre Dame got left out, that was part of why I was so despondent. I really thought Notre Dame was my best chance. But I'm going to have Miami or Ole Miss with a shot.
Well, I got to say, Tony, I had Ole Miss as number 5 in my season ending top 12. So I was higher on this team than a lot of people, despite all the Kiffin stuff, because Trinidad Shambliss is one of the most amazing.
You just love that quarterback. Name. You just love that. I remember you saying his name third week into the season when Austin Simmons went out, and he's like, who's a Shambliss Trinidad? Trinidad Shambliss.
This guy's like Roy Hobbs in The Natural or Jolton Joe from Hannibal Moe in the great old Broadway play Damn Yankees, where the devil makes a deal with an old man and turns him into a superstar. This guy's come out of nowhere. This guy's the story of the year, but I knew this Ole Miss team was the most explosive team in the entire tournament. And, I'm shocked at the way that game played out, but I'm not really shocked they're there. And it just, somebody mentioned it earlier in the show, Kiffin left because he's got a better, and all the experts were defending too, a lot of them. He has got a lot better chance to win a national championship. And I even wrote a extensive article that said, he's got the best chance he's ever going to have right now. This team is poised to make a big run. This is insanity to walk away from a team that you constructed that is on the verge of winning. And that just shows you it's not about winning a national championship for him. It's about being in the spotlight and getting all the attention. At the end of the day, Lane Kiffin is America's biggest horse's ass this morning.
Yes, he is. Before we break down the final four, let's talk about some of the games going off today, because I know a lot of people want to put some action here on January 2nd. We have Rice, Texas Tech, which obviously Kip's going to be all over.
Texas State.
You still got some pizza left over from last night. Texas State, whatever. Navy.
18.5 point favorite over Mighty Rice.
How about that line opened at 10?
Yeah.
I got 10. Damn. I thought I had the best number. I have -10.5. I didn't get the 10.
Wow. Well, historical precedent, Rice sucks and they will always suck. Yeah, right, I'm sticking with that historical
right now,
precedent.
Right now it's 18.5. That line's
Texas State, 18.5. Wow.
Let's go. Navy -7.5 against Cincinnati, over under 55.5. We have Wake Forest and Mississippi State. State giving up 3 and 53.5. We have Arizona and SMU. SMU 8-4 in the season. Nice against the spread. They're giving up 1.5 against Arizona. Those are the other games going off today. Four games here on January 2nd. Anything jumping out?
All very impactful matchup.
Hey, they're all games that we get a chance to sit around and make some money right here through K4Wins.com, which is good.
Who's going to play in the Cincinnati?
Wake Forest has moved dramatically. I mean, Mississippi State opened at 3. It's still 3. Navy opened as a 1-point favorite. Now it's 7.5. Arizona opened as a 3-point favorite. Now they're a 1.5 point dog. And we talked about Rice and Texas. I mean, it's crazy, but if you look at all the people sitting out, just like for Cincinnati, they have, I mean, Sorsby's obviously out. Their top two defensive linemen, their top two linebackers, their top two corners, their top three safeties, and their backups. They are putting a kid as allegedly they're only going to start one safety for Cincinnati today, which is it's Navy, so they're going to run the ball more than it. But the kid hasn't played all year.
Wow.
Because the top five, the sixth guy on the depth chart, which I didn't know you had six safeties. But the sixth guy on the depth chart is starting at safety for them today.
But all the players get a great Liberty Bowl swag bag. So I'm just saying.
But here's the thing. If you're in the Navy, you don't opt out. So I think Navy's probably going to have their team intact. This game looks like a slam dunk to me. Cincinnati, who knows who's going to be out there?
What's your thoughts, Case?
Every slam dunk this year has looked horrible.
Yeah, I know.
You know, when you look at some of the bets that the public thinks anyway, because again, the lines changed and everybody was with Alabama. Everybody was with Georgia. You know, everybody's on hammering Texas Tech. The public got it right with Miami, but the four playoff games we had, the public got hammered.
Yep.
Absolutely hammered.
Yep.
Which is good for you. Case, Navy -7.5. You like it?
No. This is the one game I don't have a bet on the point spread. I honestly feel like it's kind of gotten too high, and I'm a little tempted by Cincinnati +7.5. I've just heard, and it's true. There's no doubt. I've heard so much talk about how good the service academies have been in bowls because, like Kip said, they always have their full team. And man, it's been a really good money making strategy the last 10 years. But I feel like now it might have hit the saturation point because Navy just getting bet up and up and up over 7 would be too much for me. Again, I have not bet it, but I would lean Cincinnati +7.5 at this point. It's a little different than when it opened 1 or whatever. You're paying quite the premium.
What's the SEC now? I think, what is it, 4-8 or 4-7 against so far in bowl games? Obviously not one of the better conferences, but then again, there's SEC teams beating each other up as well. SMU, Arizona, Wake Forest, Mississippi State. Any thoughts on those games, guys, that you want to play today?
Well, Mississippi State is going to be excited to be there.
They're 5-7 too.
Yeah, but they thought they were done. They thought they had to win at Arkansas, or no, it wasn't Arkansas. It was at Missouri at the end of the year, or beat Ole Miss, and they lost both those games, and it was like, shit, we still didn't make a bowl game. But they are in one, and I think they will actually show up and be excited to be there. Wake Forest, I can't imagine that they're that motivated. They're not a very good team either, but I think Mississippi State's going to show up, and really Jeff Lebby is going to try to position his team to kind of get a sense of success. So just from an intangible standpoint, I think they're going to be excited to be there today. And they're not a bad team. They played 4 playoff teams from last year at home this year and covered in 3 of those games, lost 2 of them in overtime, Tennessee and Texas. So I think this Mississippi State team is a little bit better. They didn't play very well at the end of the year. Their defense kind of collapsed, but I do really like them today against Wake Forest, who I don't think it's going to give a happy, you know what, to be in that game. The Duke's Mayonnaise Bowl.
The Duke's Mayo Bowl. That's right.
State over their team total, 27.5. I think they're going to score at least 28 points. I don't know that I'm going to side with you on the game side. because I don't really trust Mississippi State defensively, but offensively I trust them. I'm not going to bet against you, but if I play anything in that game, it's just going to be State over their team total.
And they've made a transition to quarterback. They've gotten away from the quarterback all year, and they're going with the young dynamic recruit who looked good in the Ole Miss game. He did some good things. Like you said, Kai, their problems defensively. This, I don't know what the over-under on this game is, and I don't think Wake Forest is particularly explosive, but I wouldn't be surprised to see a lot of points in this game.
53.5. It's actually dropped 3 points since it opened.
It has. So if you're going to take that, do that, and also play those Bulldogs in Mississippi State. There's an early play winner for you right here on.
Because you guys, most 2nd. Of these games, most of the bowl games have been unders, correct?
A lot of them until
like yesterday,
until Saturday. There was a Duke game flew over. There's several games that went over, including the Georgia game as well. All right, let's look at the national title games. The Final Four is coming up on Thursday and Friday.
A week from Thursday. Another layoff, you know.
So a week from yesterday, and then
we got to drag this out as long as we can.
Which will be this coming Thursday and Friday is what I said. Miami, Ole Miss. Miami giving up 3 and 51.5 in Oregon and Indiana. Kip, we're going to start with you. Let's go Miami, Ole Miss. What's your thoughts initially on that particular ball game? A couple of slobber knockers.
Even though Georgia made Ole Miss's defense look credible last night at times, other times Georgia seemed to move the ball at will. The Georgia schizophrenic performance last night gives me no gauge on what reality is, but I still don't think Ole Miss has a championship defense. I think Miami's hitting on all cylinders right now, and the Miami defensive front is just ferocious. It's Chambliss, the magic man, against the best defensive front that I've seen. Their Bane is just ridiculous. I got to go Miami there. And, Oregon, I want to like them. I don't know how big an accomplishment that was yesterday. Texas Tech's defense obviously is what carried them into this. And I think they play in a league where we might have gotten a little bit bamboozled by their offense because – you know, it's a league that has a lot of good offensive teams, but I don't think plays much defense, the Big 12 overall. So my feeling is that as good a win as that looked like yesterday, and Texas Tech's defense is the real deal, but I just don't think Oregon's as good as Indiana now. And I think we're going to end up with the Hoosiers and the Canes. That's what I'm thinking.
Kai, Miami's covered 9-2 against the spread this year. They've covered their last three ball games. What's your thoughts on Miami and that matchup there against Ole Miss?
My initial reaction would be, is the Lord just on Ole Miss's side since Kiffin left? Since Satan left Ole Miss, maybe the Lord wants Ole Miss to roll through. But I just think the offensive and defensive line for Miami is going to be too much for them to overcome. I do like the way Miami's defense is playing right now. Who would have thought a year ago we'd ever say that? Or even, 6 months ago.
Oh, yeah, they've been awful.
Yeah, and the other game, I've liked Indiana all year, and I have not liked Oregon. Case has been on both of them and loved Oregon, and even said before, Oregon and Miami. And I don't know. I'm going to have to look for 5 or 6 days before this game to keep going because I just don't have any idea in that game.
Yeah, Ole Miss has also covered their last three games as well. Case, Miami, Ole Miss, you've kind of leaned your hand already, but what would have to change for this line? Where would you like to see the line move? Let's put it that way.
I'd be a little bit more conflicted if it moves over 3. I mean, right now I haven't made, I really just made my first reaction lines. I haven't really dove in. I'm wondering if when I make it that I will show value on Miami at 3 or lower. So I still think I could possibly bet that side, but if it gets over 3, I just think I won't be interested. I mean, Ole Miss still has the wild card in Trinidad Chambliss. If he really goes off, they have a chance. But yeah, I certainly lean Miami that way. And then, the other game, I just, It's just Indiana's just a little more trustworthy. I feel like it's kind of a consequence of having such a young team. Oregon leans on so many young guys, is that I just feel like you don't know what you're going to get on a week-to-week basis. They could absolutely come out like gangbusters and be great and beat them. I wouldn't be surprised at all. But it kind of feels like they're all over. I mean, even in the playoff, obviously, Texas Tech was pretty flawed, but you saw how well the defense responded to their bad first game. I mean, there's been times this year where they put up 40 in the first half of one game and then struggle to score more than three touchdowns the next. I just feel like Oregon's kind of a grab bag week to week, whereas Indiana, I mean, I do think Oregon has more talent than Indiana, other than at quarterback, obviously. I think all the talk about how Indiana's got it done with, you know, such little recruiting profile, I have to put a little bit of an asterisk on that just because you have the consensus number one pick in the NFL draft at quarterback, which makes a big difference. But Indiana, I just feel like it's so consistent. You know what you're going to get, that I feel a little bit safer backing them. Although they have taken some money even this morning. It's getting more into place. I see even some 4.5s now. I thought the 3.5 number was a bad opener, and I had to fire on Indiana.
Together, Oregon and Indiana gives up a total of 3 points in their last ball games, and the over-under is 47.5. I thought it'd be 43, 44.5. Am I thinking that's a little high for these two teams? Why are people thinking that? And obviously, Oregon got some scratch stuff late. And we saw, you know, what Indiana did against Alabama, but Bama quit. I can't see either one of these teams putting up another 30 spot. What's your thoughts on that case?
I made it 46.5. So I made it basically right on. I don't know. It'd be interesting to see. Oregon obviously wants to play with a lot of pace and Indiana does not. So it's kind of a battle in that regard. I just feel like there's probably a high tail to the over just because Indiana clearly has the firepower if they need to play that type of game. But it's a national semifinal. I don't know. I'd be interested. I want to look back and see what the first game is. But the total didn't jump out to me. I will say I liked the total in the other game, actually. I think you were getting a couple extra points just because of the Trinidad Chandler show against Georgia. I thought 52.5, which it opened, was way high. I'm not as confident on totals. Obviously, I don't even really bet them during the regular season. So I didn't go crazy. It was just a normal size bet, but I did bet a little under 52.5. I think it's going to be hard. Miami just doesn't play games like that. And I think they're going to be hard pressed to just be, this wild chuck it down the field. I don't think they're going to have enough time. I mean, Georgia's defense had gotten better as the season went on, but their pressure rate metrics were just terrible all year. They just did not make quarterbacks as uncomfortable as they did in their heyday. And Miami is just the king of that. I mean, Chambliss is just not going to have the time he had against Georgia. So, I definitely had of the totals, I had a stronger lean to the under in the Miami Ole Miss game.
Yeah, that Miami game, interesting enough, Miami's gone under the last three games. Ole Miss has gone out of 2-4 clip, so they're not getting it done. And we see this a lot in it seems like when we get to the championship rounds, we always talk about defense winning championships. That's the way it is. If you have a great offense, you have a better shot at having your great defense show up than your great offense. It just happens that way. And again, with Oregon getting healthy on the offensive side of the ball, that wasn't the side of the ball I was really worried about. And then they come out and put the goose egg up and get it done against Texas Tech. Now, Texas Tech hadn't exactly been lighting the world on fire. I think a lot of people think of that Red Raiders, that high-flying offense from the 90s and the 2000s.
It's not the same.
This ain't Tommy Tuberville.
Morton was abysmal yesterday. He was terrible.
Guns up, man. They shut them down. So give some kudos to Oregon and what they did there. I thought that was fantastic. I don't think, and I know we've talked about Indiana all year, and if you listen to this show, you've certainly seen us move in this direction, and if you watched it, Case has been on Indiana all year long, and he's on them again against the Oregon Ducks. I just think this is kind of a new phase. You know, normally people would talk about coaches used to love bowl games because that allowed the players to have extra practice time for next season. They can look forward to the next season. Now with the portal opening up today, and you mentioned 400 and something guys going in. We got quarterbacks trying to get 7 and 8 and 9 years of eligibility because Diego Pavi is like, I want that $3 million they made this past year because he's not going to make that in the National Football League. We got the quarterback for Ole Miss who's trying to come back. He got to come back. These kids are seeing dollar signs. They're going like, damn it, I want to get back.
Down. He lost his appeal.
So it's unfortunate, but you're going to end up seeing probably some 28 and 29 year old dudes playing in college football probably the next
and why not
Yeah.
We talked about there's an NBA story circulating right now where I'm not sure who it is, but Baylor's talking to a guy who's in the NBA who's still got eligibility, and they're thinking about challenging and trying to bring him back to fulfill his college years because he's sitting on the end of an NBA bench. I don't have the particulars, but I mean, that's the kind of insanity we're getting ready to get into with college sports becoming a de facto professional league. All of the barriers and preventatives that have been in place all these years, I think it's all out the window now.
Lamar Jackson yesterday was asked, does he fall asleep during meetings? He said, in front of Harbaugh, are you crazy? Then they asked the question, do you want to be here? And he's like, of course I want to be here. And they said, well, you know, with your contract and everything else, he said, we still have a game to play. We're not in the playoffs yet. We have to play football first before we sign some paperwork. You could kind of tell he was getting pissed off by some of the questioning. And again, he's been banged up pretty much the majority of the year, but they're giving up 3.5 on the road at the Steelers. Hard to take those Steelers and not take those 3.5 points. Kai, what's your thoughts on the must-see NFL game of the weekend, Pittsburgh, Baltimore?
We just saw 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
You know, it depends on if they use their brain and actually hand the ball to Derrick Henry very much. And at the same time, what could be better than great play action with Lamar Jackson healthy against Pitt after what Henry has done the last few games and them knowing, hey, we want to hammer that. So if you've got smart coaching, you can come out, you use that, you run him, you use play action. I just don't. Watching Aaron Rodgers, I think his arm is getting weaker. He is not going to stretch the field, in my opinion, against Baltimore, which is what they need to do. I just don't think he can stretch the field the way he used to. He's missing his top receiver, arguably, in this game again for suspension for being a dumbass. And so I don't want to lay 3.5 if I can get it 3 or less. I'm on Baltimore. Otherwise, I'm going to watch and hope Baltimore wins because nobody wants to see them in that running game in the playoffs.
Yeah, is Derrick Henry still 29.5 attempts? I think we talked about that earlier this week. A lot of people were liking the over 29.5 in that particular thing, and that'd be a lot of runs.
I like under 29.5 in that game.
There, you heard it right there, under 29.5. If it is 29.5, it probably went up a little bit. Derrick Henry coming up. Yeah, probably the last great running back that Alabama's had based on what we just saw this past year. Your thoughts on this particular ball game and Sunday? I know it's we're playing for some seating and some stuff. I know, and Kyle, stay with you too, because right at the top of the game, you said something about the Bucs and the Panthers game. What'd you say?
I mean, if you look at the power ratings, offensive and defensive efficiency and all those kind of things, and I realize Tampa Bay's lost 7 out of 8, but in every aspect, in my opinion, even at quarterback, they are stronger and better than Carolina. Tampa Bay has been in this position before where they have to win to get in the playoffs. When's the last time Carolina was even thought about the playoffs? I mean, you know,
Cam Newton, however long ago that was.
Yeah. So I love Tampa Bay in this game at home. I don't want it to go above 3. I already bet it. I actually got it at 2. And I know it is 3 and 3 across the board, but it's plus 100 or so even money bet. There's no juice for you at that. I really like that, but not as much as I like San Francisco over their team total. 23.5 at home against Seattle.
K4Wins.com, K4Wins.com to get all these plays because there is money to be made. A case that'd be interesting too, because I know a lot of people kind of throw, professional gamblers, this is what they do for a living. So they're looking for value in every game they do. And when you've got half a football team playing out, teams, you know, Aldo Greco used to always say, I was great. Forrest Gregg used to be his coach at Green Bay. And he's like, move those GD U-Hauls out of my damn, your ass is mine until the end of this football game. I don't want to see one damn box boxed up and put in a U-Haul until your ass is done with this game. They would be like 3-12 or whatever going into the final game. And I was like, everyone was just packing their shit up and leaving. But I would think a good handicapper like yourself would find some value in games that look like there's really nothing to play for.
Yeah. I've kind of swapped over there. I used to be a defender of week 18. Now it used to be 17. I would still, bet it pretty heavily, and I did bet it heavily again now, but it's just a kind of a pain to me. I don't really enjoy it. It's much more of the informational, trying to figure out who's going to play, trying to figure out who's going to care. There are some good opportunities, but sportsbooks have gotten really careful too. I mean, a lot of these lines, we talk on Fridays throughout the season, and I've already bet a lot of games for the next week because I bet the look-aheads. There are no look-aheads for Week 18, and even Sunday night, going into the Sunday night game, there were basically no lines up. I mean, books weren't really posting till like Monday morning just to be careful themselves. So it's just weird when so much is already decided, and that's why these games or something does matter stands out so much. So I still have a lot of bets, but honestly, for me, even a lot more arbitrage stuff than I normally get into. I know we already talked about Pittsburgh, Baltimore on Tuesday. I said I bet Pittsburgh +3.5. I thought it was too high, but I also did it as a hedge because I have so much Baltimore future exposure. However, you know, I'll stand by it. I said I bet it, I bet it. But man, everything Lamar Jackson's doing is under such a microscope now. And there's been some positive things too, not just the words. Some Ravens fans point out that there's pictures of him at practice this week. It was the first time, I think, since like week six, he doesn't have his ankles taped at all. So maybe last week was a big one for him sitting out. I wrote it. I think I said it probably on our show too, that, you know, the only way I could lay 3.5 with Baltimore was if I knew Lamar Jackson was playing and healthy. At the time I wrote, he was neither. We know he's playing now, and I'm given a little bit of a slighter edge that he's healthy. So I certainly wouldn't bet Pittsburgh +3.5 now, but for better or worse, I'm on that side. I also want to say their first game. I've heard a lot of people mention, well, Pittsburgh's already beat them once. That was one of the most misleading results you could ever. I mean, Baltimore beat them up and down. And the last touchdown catch, if you guys remember, Isaiah Likely, they waved it off upon further review, which I don't know if it was a catch or not. I don't understand the NFL anymore. But there are like three other examples this year with the exact same thing. They said it was
a touchdown. So bad.
So I don't even think I think it was the wrong winner the first game. But again, and I say this all the time, Pittsburgh, Mike Tomlin just has some magic or something. They win every game that goes like that. So I'd like to wave off my +3.5 Pittsburgh, unless you have Baltimore exposure.
They win that. I agree with you. Mike Tomlin wins those games in the regular season.
Yeah, well, and this is kind of an in-between. This is like a play-in game.
Aaron Rodgers.
What was that? It was like 2 months ago, I think we talked about that, about Tomlin and his playoff record and what other coach could actually still be employed if they had the playoff record he has.
He's got the record now for most consecutive 500 or better years, right? They're 9-7, so he's done it again. Every single year, you know, that team's
going to play. For viewing experience, you got to want Baltimore to get in. I don't think Pittsburgh. Baltimore still has a chance to make a run. Pittsburgh in the playoffs.
Who's quarterbacking for the Steelers next year? Is Aaron back? He sounds like he wants to come back.
Yeah, I don't think he's coming back. I don't think they're probably enthusiastic.
Sure, sounds like he saw. I know there's going to be some teams interested. He doesn't want to be a team interested because his ass is getting old. I don't know why he's still playing, but he still wants to get out there and get out there.
Trinidad Chambliss, after leading Ole Miss to an improbable national championship, becomes a polarizing first round pick.
Yeah, he does.
There you go. The story continues.
If he would go down that far. If he would go down that far,
I used to have a gigantic backyard in Atlanta when I was growing up, and we played games. We played football 6-on-6, 5-on-5. I saw plays last night in that game that were exactly like those backyard games. You would run around as a quarterback, run about 150 yards, and finally somebody would get tired of chasing a receiver and you throw it as far as you could and complete it. That was exactly what we saw last night. Unbelievable. Trinidad Chambliss is one of the most, and I called it early in the year that this guy is the storyline of the year, and I had no idea how right I was.
If somehow Georgia could have won that game, pulled that, and they asked the ref, I forget who was actually on camera, and they said, you know, do we really have to put the second back on the clock? He goes, dude, have you watched enough football to see what happens with 1 second left on a clock in a football game? Absolutely. We need to move the stage off and put the 1 second back up on the clock. And I didn't realize, because we just thought that once you touch the football, the clock would run off. But since he fell down, he was already down at the time. But yeah, because it didn't even look like Ole Miss was even trying to recover the ball. They just sat there because they knew once
they didn't want to touch it and have a deflect off.
Exactly. Yeah. So they just sat there and watched the guy jump on. Next thing you know, they got a second. They're moving the stage back off the table. It's crazy.
Unbelievable. Right. Okay,
so I got a question before we go, because I want to know if you think I'm crazy and what number you met. I love Las Vegas +5.5 this week at home against the Chiefs. Are a whole lot of people not playing for Vegas or something?
Yeah, I mean, they basically shut down all their good players, but so is Kansas City. I bet the Raiders plus 6.5 against my better judgment. The other thing that I think is important of why the Raiders, it would be typical Raiders if they won this because they need to lose to get the number one pick. But the Chiefs have shut down just as many guys. And Pete Carroll came out this week and said Aiden O'Connell, who hasn't played all year, will split snaps with Kenny Pickett. I think Aiden O'Connell's better than Kenny Pickett. He hasn't gotten to play all year because he's not Pete Carroll's guy. I feel like he's going to have something to prove. I would not be surprised if they put up some points with O'Connell. The question then is, do they bench him because they don't want to win? But I agree with you. The number is way too high if you look with who the Chiefs are trotting out there right now.
All right, Kai, how are we doing on numbers-wise? And obviously, we're more than just college and professional football. We are NHL. We are college hoops. I went and caught me some college hoops. I got some college hoops in my blood this weekend. Was excited about that. Saw the UAB Blazers give up a 17-point lead and lose to Wichita State. The Shockers. It sucked.
The Shockers.
3-point favorite.
Oh, I was in shock. But you know what? I love going down to Bartow because me and my son had 4 hot dogs, 2 drinks, 2 candies, and 2 popcorns, and it was all like $21. And I was like, you know what? This is my kind of deal, as opposed to going to Protective where it's going to cost you like $69. I was like, you know, a $3 hot dog is all about it. But how are numbers looking here, big guy?
Oh, not too shabby. Although we did start the day. So last year, 25, we started New Year's Day 5-1. Started off great.
Nice.
Didn't look back, up all year. This year, not so good. I picked some of the wrong ones to post. Clearly, we were 3-4 yesterday. But last week, 22-17. Last month, 118-77. Last year, 62.1%, 1,160 wins, 685 losses, 33 pushes, which is just amazing to be able to push that many. But not bad to win almost 1,200 games out of 1,800 posted.
Rice, Texas State, Navy, Cincinnati, Wake Forest, Mississippi State. We gave you Mississippi State earlier in the show. Kyle also likes team total over in the Mississippi State game. Some freebies here, Arizona, SMU. Make sure you go to k4wins.com, k4wins.com. There's the man. There he is. Happy New Year, my brother. How are you?
Good.
Oh, fantastic.
Hey, King.
It's great to see you, King.
Hi, Cuckoo.
Good.
Go Knights, go.
Go Knights, go. We got to do something about our Knights. They're playing terrible. Me and you went and got a big 7-2 win, and they haven't won since, King. We got to go to more games.
Yeah. Maybe we can go to the Wild versus the Golden Knights.
Yeah, the Wild. I think the Wild are a real good team this year. I think they have a chance to be a team that we can count on to win just about every game right now. They're playing really well.
Yeah, say bye.
Bye.
See you, buddy.
Thank you,
have
King.
Yourself a wonderful
Happy
weekend.
Year,
Happy
buddy.
Happy New Year. All right,
and we got college basketball, and don't forget, in my opinion, the number one team in the country plays tonight, hosting USC, Michigan -22.
Yeah,
Michigan is insane. It's insane what they're doing. I don't know if they can keep it up. I gave Michigan as one of the teams I bet for the national championship coming into the year, and that's looking pretty good. But man, they've been USC's best players out for the year.
One of their best players, former UAB cat, played here Southside last year. Yaxel, right? Man, the guy's unbelievable. And
Alabama fans have pivoted already because tomorrow at noon, the Kentucky Wildcats are at the barn, otherwise known as Coleman Coliseum. So all of a sudden, the basketball school is in full effect.
There you go. And it could not come soon enough. I got news for you.
Well, Philon or whatever the hell, however you pronounce his name, is not super healthy, because I know he was injured the other day. If he's not super healthy, that team's in trouble.
I mentioned this on the starting lineup. I lean Kentucky too, but man, they they haven't been healthy until really recently. So as much cloaked in failure and as much as we made fun of them, I think Kentucky at plus 850 right now to win the SEC might be a decent bet.
All right,
gentlemen.
What's the line on Alabama Kentucky tomorrow, real quick?
I haven't seen it, but I think it's going to be like somewhere in the 4.5 to 6 range.
And interesting.
I would take Kentucky.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, after seeing them against Arizona, man, I've only seen them one time this year, but boy, that team, they look great up until the halftime, and then the second half just did not show up at all. All right, you guys.
Fell apart like the football team.
Yep. Y'all have a great weekend. Thank you so much for all you do. Looking forward to just a stellar and prosperous 2026. Going to be an awesome year, and we thank you for all you do. We'll be back coming up on Tuesday, 10 o'clock Central Time, as we get ready for the Final Four going on next Thursday and Friday right here on K4Wins.com, K4Wins.com. Thank you, gentlemen.
See you guys.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.